And life's too short to treat people not well. Like, you should always treat people that you work with equally. And I say the biggest thing is, yeah, maintain good relationships, always keep in touch with people.
On this episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast, we're joined by Rob Blose, the Assistant Director of Video and Recruiting for the University of Pittsburgh. Blose has been an integral part of Pitt's rise in the ACC, contributing to both the recruiting process and the behind-the-scenes video work that helps prepare the Panthers for success. Before joining Pitt, he built his foundation through various support and operational roles in college basketball, developing a reputation for his attention to detail and passion for the game. His work in film study, scouting, and player development has made him a key piece in helping shape team strategy and player growth throughout the years. Blose has seen firsthand the evolving landscape of college basketball, particularly in recruiting and roster management. His experience offers valuable insight into what it takes to thrive at the high major level. On this episode, we discuss the biggest lessons he learned growing in a high major program, the pros and cons of roster construction in NIL, as well as the challenges and rewards of working with video and film breakdown as a coach. Please welcome to the podcast, Rob Blose.
Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines.
Ladies and gentlemen, Allen Major, Doug Caputo here today. Welcome back to another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. We are joined with a good friend, the Assistant Director of Video and Recruiting for Pitt University, Coach Rob Blose. Coach Blose, welcome to the podcast.
What's going on, guys? Grateful to be on here.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome. Go Panthers, man. Go Panthers. Let's go.
My guy. No, it's great to be able to chop it up with you. One thing, and I know we talk about this all the time, but it's instrumental for you to be able to be on here to tell your story, not just because it's good to hear a coach's story, but because your story is something that is unique. Like, as we were talking off, like, you have a little bit of experience at a community college, but for the most part, majority of your career is in one area. You were the student manager for 2 years, grad assistant for 2 years, assistant director of recruiting and, of video and recruiting now where you are. But all of that rise was from Pitt University or in the university. So just give us, like, from working at Pitt, as I mentioned, those three different positions, working your way up the chain from ultimately being a student manager, what have been the biggest lessons learned about growing in a high major program that you have learned so far?
Man, I work for a super awesome staff that has given me the opportunity to be myself and just help add value to the program. And I'm super grateful for the fact that I was a manager and coach saw value in me being part of the program and elevated me to a grad assistant, obviously on full staff now. But I would say the three biggest lessons are just one thing I've learned from coach, just showing up each and every day. As a kid, you go home and, like, if you're at school and things don't go well, you tell your parents, like, hey, this happened to me or whatever. There's that getaway of, like, things aren't going right. Like, I'm trying to get away, not be around. With, like, this being, like, every day, the season being so long, like, whether things go well or don't go well, just being able to show up each and every day with a positive attitude and give your best and try to help as many people as possible accomplish their goals, their dreams, players, coaches, everybody on the program. I'd say that's the biggest lesson I've learned, along with just excelling in your role. If you're a manager, there's value in, like, you're helping players get better. Player wants to get to the NBA or they want to have a professional career, you're helping them and being a part of that journey. Like, they've been through high school, maybe won a state championship. You're helping them get to their final goal. So there's value in every position on staff. Like, it just consider your role to be too small. Try to be the best you can be at it and give it everything you got.
Yeah, no, that's great stuff, man. I always like it when guys get moved up within the same organization. We had a guy from the Pacers, pro personnel scout. His name's Vance Catlin. And he's literally been with the Pacers for a total of 20 years. It was either 18 or 20 years, but he was like video coordinator, and then he never really wanted to be experienced the coaching side. He's gone the front office route, but he's just reliable, available, and they just kept moving him up. That's what I love about your story. And is it something when you've had, when they said, hey, Rob, we're going to let you do this now, have coaches, has anyone ever said, we're going to move him up because, have they ever told you the reason why? Because, and I'm saying that it's a good thing, because it's probably a good reason, but have they ever said it's because he's this, that, that?
Right. I would say more when I was a manager, like the biggest thing I've mentioned before, just showing up each and every day, like I was always just trying to be available. If there was a guy needed whatever a coach needed at a certain time, just being willing to support them and just be that ability to be available led to them knowing that, okay, like this is somebody who's really passionate, serious. If I give them a task, like I trust them to accomplish that, and they're going to do it the best of their ability. And so with that, I think that helped open up the opportunity to become a grad assistant. And when I was a grad assistant, I think the biggest thing was just trying to find holes that like weren't covered that could be of use, like a resource to the coaches. And if they liked it and they ran with it, great. If not, like you at least try to think of something different, creative that they could use, and maybe it's of value to them and it helps to make better decisions, or it helps to maybe get a guy down the road. I think when the whole transfer portal started really like coming big time with rebuilding rosters and everything, I showed that I could help pull video from Synergy on guys that we would be looking at, try to get a quick glimpse of, okay, is this somebody we want to pursue? And showing that ability that I could do video along with also evaluate guys and showcase their skill sets, that helped get me into the position to be on full time. Coach saw value in that. And that was like the biggest thing. So I would say just more so going back to that, like just being able to find holes within the organization that you can really add value to. You just see things that aren't being done that could be of a resource to the coaches. That's the biggest thing with they want to keep you around at that point. Like that you're helping the program get better each and every day. So I would say that would be the biggest thing too, is just adding value wherever you can find.
Yeah, that's the magic word that we hear out here a lot
for sure.
From people at different levels. I'm talking NBA people say it. High school guys say it. College guys say it. Head coaches at all levels are saying it. Like, that's why they hire people, add value.
100%.
Thing
is like no task that you're given is too small. So if they trust you to do a certain thing, like whether, like I help with, when I first starting out, I help with making scouting reports, like printing the packets, getting them prepared. But like, I have to be trusted to do that. Clearly, yeah. Does everybody want to be printing papers? No. But like the fact that right. somebody actually trusts me to make sure this is going to get done and it's going to be ready by the time the coaches get in. And yeah, like that's important. Like that, you got to take pride in those little things, because that then allows you to earn the trust to do more. And yeah, so I think that's a huge component to it.
Yeah. No, I had a coach tell me one time, because he's an older coach and he's not in the business anymore, but he's frustrated with things he hears in our profession. And he used this phrase, like, why don't guys glorify things that don't bring them glory?
Yeah.
And basically he's saying, like, why not take joy in the little things without having to get your flowers for it? It's right. Okay to get flowers when deserved, but don't create reasons to get your own flowers for things. Like, do the stuff that nobody sees and take pride and joy in that. But you embody what they said that in the Patriots facility, they always talk about the do your job thing in the locker room. But one thing they never talk about is their front office motto was, the more you can do, the more you can do. So that's how they promoted guys from Patriots, always promoted internally in the front office. But their motto was, the more you can do, the more you can do. So the more you show that you can do, the more they'll let you do. But you really embodied that approach, man. That's good.
I didn't know that. And that's really good, just because I was fortunate enough. It was a short conversation, but I think he's director of personnel with the Hawks, but Bryson Graham. Before I talked to him, he was the assistant GM with the Pelicans. I read an article and it said he first started out, like, he was getting coffee for the people in our organization and driving guys to the airport. And he was at the time the assistant GM of the Pelicans. Like, if he could do it, like, I could do it, you could do it. Like, and he did those tasks, like, to the best of his ability. And like you said, like, you get more and more because of that. It's really
and the thing is too, that I've learned experiences, coaches will test you to see how much you're willing to do, to see how far you're willing to go, even if it's something little, because a lot of people, for the coffee instance, if somebody says, hey, go grab me a coffee and go check all the other staff, make sure they need something.
Right.
There's some people who are probably going to do that and be like, this is stupid. Like, why do I have to be the coffee boy right now? I want to be out on the floor. And right. You can see the way they do it, right? So they're probably not doing, I don't want to say everybody, but there's some people out there who are probably, I'm going to give him this task to see how he tackles it. If he does a good job, you know what? It definitely will tell more about his character, about his future. And now, do I want to keep this guy around? If he's throwing a fit about buying his coffee, how's he going to feel about having to write up a full scouting report of the next 5 teams that we play? Like, it's definitely a lot more difficult work. So I'm sure a lot of times there's tests in those too.
100%.
So you talked on a little bit, obviously being assistant director of recruiting and video, you work a lot with video. I know you work with our guy, Billy Hubley over there, breaking down some different things. And for those who haven't heard, we were fortunate to be able to get him on and let him tell his story before about all that and his side of things. But I know one thing, when me and you talk all the time, for reference for people who on here, like me and Blows get to hang out. We're fortunate enough to both be in Pittsburgh. We get to hang out enough outside of this. So that's where we get to talk a little bit more. But you talk about like the NIL side a little bit, and I know you get somewhat of a hand in some all of that too. How do you begin looking at a player, say there's a potential player, how do you break down the on-court impact that they bring to a game into like the NIL value side of things? Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, I would say like with NIL, like there are no rules, obviously, and things are changing every year. If you were to look at the market, it's double, triple, quadruple. It's not what it was 3 years ago. It continues to change. The revenue sharing hopefully can make it a little bit better with at least knowing going into it what you might need. I would say like when evaluating players, the biggest thing is each level is different. High major, I would say more positional size adds value. Shooting, the playmaking ability. And to go along with demand on the market, if certain positions like in the NBA cost more, like wings, they might be more expensive because there's less that give you that superstar ability. So in college, it could be point guards, it could be the center position, but ultimately with the demand in the market will tell how much a player is valued. And then to go along with that, like if you're a high major player and you're going to a different university or a different high major, like you've proven and you have experience at that level that you can produce consistently, there's a premium to that. So there's a bunch of different ways to look into it, but it's ultimately like you have a formula of, okay, like these are things that would translate to this level, and this is the range of what maybe a starter would pay or what a rotation piece would pay, and do your due diligence and figure out if that's something that you want to pursue for a certain guy.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you a question that has probably no definitive answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Sure. How do you navigate, maybe that's the best way to put it, how do you navigate when you obviously got to deal with agents now, and an agent is saying, you know, my guy is being offered blah, 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 whatever the number is. But now you have to either try to verify that, or you have to just trust what the guy is saying, or you have to somehow dig and find out if that's really true. How do you best navigate that? Because that's now a very real part of the conversation, is what is being quoted or hoped for really the truth.
I would say more, I'm not in the position where like I talk to the agents, but with in general, like I would say, when you start to hear different things about like the numbers from about different players, you understand what, going back to it, if you think the player is a starting caliber player, their value is different than somebody who might be a piece to the team, like a rotational piece. where somebody, it's kind of like the NBA model. Like, you're going to pay your starters more money than you're going to pay like the guys that you're just developing, and you want to consistently get better and better. So it's really like just hearing and understanding, like, what do you see with that player? Do you think that player can come in and play a lot of minutes and impact winning? And they're based on what you hear about other people and their numbers, like, that kind of helps you get an idea as to what you would probably look
at. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's interesting. I just think that dynamic adds to the whole, that's just another layer that gets added to this whole deal and managing that. So yeah, good stuff.
And I know the one thing that you love to talk about too, because I know you love to do with like the roster construction portion of things. I know, like, whenever, so me and him are big football guys, right? We always like to go watch some football games together, and somehow, some way, the roster construction always pops up. We always talk about it. And it's honestly, it's interesting for me to hear, because it's definitely a cool perspective and he has a hand in it. What are some of the pros, I guess, some of the pros cons of just one overall, not even has anything to do with Pitt, just more NIL as in the new realm now of basketball, the roster construction, and how do you think, like, how is that going to affect teams, especially low major, high major, getting recruits out of high school, things like that? Like, how do you feel like that's going to transition and help?
So I say some of the pros with it is, like, for a lot of teams, like, you, if you have a down year, you can go and change your team quick and be competitive again. Whereas years before, it would take a couple of years to bring in high school kids, develop them. And then when they're junior or seniors, actually be a really good team. It's more so you're accumulating talent and bringing guys in and giving them opportunities that I think they can excel in. And so I think there's a lot of pros to that. Like, we had success with bringing guys in that may have not had an opportunity elsewhere. And Coach Capel's done an unbelievable job with this too. But giving them opportunities where we saw, okay, we had a guy, Greg Elliott, who was a really good catch and shoot, 3-point shooter. And he was more of the sixth man with Marquette's. He got for us for majority of the season and was awesome. He helped us win. It was a huge part of that team. And even guys that were at, we had a guy, Nelly Cummings, who he was at Bowling Green and he didn't do as well there. He went to Colgate and they saw something at Colgate with his skill set, and they developed him at Colgate, and his final year he got the opportunity to play high major basketball. He always dreamed about playing at Pitt. And so I think it's really, like, for the players part of it, you might not be where you want to be, but, like, you can continue to develop and impact winning and then ultimately get to play at a different level. Or if a guy doesn't have an opportunity and wants to go to a lower level and get an opportunity to play more, like, he can impact winning there. So it's just, I think sometimes the cons are that, yes, like, the guys aren't here for an extended period of time. I think it was lost. Like, you get into this business because you want to help people and impact people. And sometimes that is now like a one-year window. And that's not the same as what it was. For the players, it's been great for the fact that you can get a fresh start and impact winning elsewhere, or even get a chance to play if you didn't have a chance to play. So there's pros and cons to it. And that, the last thing I would say is, it'd be interesting to see with, like, high school recruits, a lot of teams in the mid-major, low majors, are they going to have opportunities to get better high school recruits in the future and those guys be able to play right away? So I think that's really cool. Like, you'll see a lot of guys, the talent will be distributed differently than it was.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Especially with the high school thing, I think if they do their due diligence, the mids and lows will be able to find a better quality high school player, just because some of the upper mids to highs just know, hey, we'll go get a guy in the spring. And so some of the due diligence in terms of investigating and finding, and I mean, talking about sleepers, just guys that don't get recruited. And then there's always, I think, guys in the spring that are available that are just out there. They got looked over. They didn't sign in the fall for whatever reason, and that they're still available in the springtime. I think that's the other list that deserves to be put under the microscope as well, especially when the portal is going on. But who's those 25 to 50 to 75 high school kids that are still pretty good that for whatever reason just didn't get signed? The Mickey D's guys, they can wait on whatever. That's not a big deal. But I'm talking like it could be 75 to 150 or between 75 and 200 there's guys in that, in those groups that just get passed over. So that dynamic's going to continue to be interesting.
Yeah. And I think it's awesome for the low major teams because they get to recruit those guys out of high school and give those guys the opportunity to play. And it makes their quality of basketball better too. And it probably can help them be more competitive faster as well in their conferences. So yeah, I think ultimately, like, you would love to have guys here for a longer period of time so that you can make an impact and help them. There are pros and cons to it. It's what it is now. Things have changed.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
No, there are so many sleepers. Now, I won't say where, because I don't want to publicize where I am going specifically, but me and my coach, it's like there's one little area. I'm sure there's way more, but there's one area that we've been working with that a few of my recruits are at. These kids are low major Division I, potential low major Division I, and we actually have our foot in there because they don't have one conversation that nobody is talking to them. They're just completely going under the radar because not many college coaches are really recruiting them. So we're just like, take your shot. Now, we started, what, since we just hired a new coach, by the time this airs, it'd be different timing, but he comes in, we only have a limited time. There's all these Division I players that are just going completely under the radar. We almost pulled a couple Division I guys. So it's helping low schools. And we're Division III. We're not even a low major Division I. So if we don't have the money to throw around, like low major, we lost a couple of Division I schools late, which is crazy. But then going back to one of the things that you spoke on, how it can help a team rise from being a bottom to the top, I'll give you a prime example. Robert Morris, this past season, right? They were, I want to say they were last in their conference 2 years ago. They were not doing very well. They had to completely rechange the staff. There's a bunch of things. And then they go from last to then this past season, they won the championship. They did a good run against Alabama in the NCAA tournament first round. The previous year, they were 10-22. This past year, they were 26-9. So things completely changed for them, which is just absolutely drastic because they just hit the portal, brought some new guys in, and you see the growth.
How cool is that, too? Like that 1 year, all those guys could be on a journey with one another. And like, impact winning, and where maybe their previous spot they were at before wasn't the case, but now, like, you're part of an NCAA team all within a year. Yeah, like, it, there's so many different ways you can look at it, but yeah, it's definitely times have changed and it's not the same for better or for worse.
Yeah, for sure.
So with your role, we'll stay on that area, but we'll go to a different perspective, a different area, just more of like the recruiting side, the video side. You do a lot of assistance with filming, editing, preparing video for the coaches, recruiting support. So what of those job elements do you find are like most challenging, or like things that you do? Is there anything in that you find more challenging in comparison to maybe more rewarding?
So I'll say the challenging part to it, and we just experienced it with the internet connection. Like in a video role, sometimes when you're like filming practice and you could have everything to a T, you could come down to practice early, set up early. And then at the wrong time, like the computer doesn't work the way it's supposed to, or the internet goes down and you lost 30 minutes of live play. That is definitely the most challenging thing to tell coach. Hey, yeah, we might be missing part of practice today. So even though you're trying to do a good job and you're like, sometimes there are things that are out of your, you know, that affect you that you can't change. So I would say that's definitely the most challenging, is being ready for whatever it comes up with technology. But besides that, most rewarding definitely would be, I help a lot with the recruiting visits when we get kids on campus, high school transfers. I think it's, you take it for granted, but you don't realize like those kids that end up coming to your campus and visiting, they dreamt of that weekend to come up and see like a university that they maybe dreamt of playing high major basketball, and Pitt might have not been the school, but like it became a school that you're intrigued by and you come to the school and it's, yeah, I want to call this home the next couple of years. Or if you have aspirations to make it to the NBA and you want to find that place that can really develop you as a player, as a person. So being able to, within 48 hours, sell them of coming to the school, along with being able to carry out the used to dream about experiencing, I want to go visit high major campuses. So I think that's the coolest thing, is they've been wanting this opportunity to come do this, and you get to partake and carry out the operation of actually executing that.
Yeah. What's always like asking this, because I think guys give opinions of their head coaches and people need to know how good Jeff Capel is. I think he's probably one of the best kept he's not a, maybe a secret in college basketball, but I think who he is as a person is probably one of the best kept secrets in our game. What's his superpower day to day?
I would say Coach K, his superpower is literally just bringing the best out of his players, his staff, and just really the relationship part of it. When we're not just part of a program for a short period of time, like these connections that we make, like they're lifelong connections. So the guys that he's coached at Duke, at Oklahoma, even here, I think the coolest thing to me watching this from afar is like, I wouldn't say afar, but like on staff is like seeing like how much he loves, appreciates the relationships that he has with his former guys and former staff, just getting to see them and seeing them be successful. That's been the coolest thing, man. It's just the relationships that he has with the people that worked for him or the people that he's coached. That's been honestly like the most rewarding thing personally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, we've had him on the pod before as well, and that's not the least bit surprising. So,
yeah. Also, yeah, like the stories that he has like, when he worked at Duke, the stories that he would tell when he played at Duke, it's just been super cool just to listen and see all of it.
Yeah, I bet.
Get to go travel back with him to back to Duke whenever you play them. I'm sure that's an experience. That's probably a fun time to be able to be out there on the floor, especially you're just coaching where one of the places that you help grow, right? Even whether as a player, as a coach, anyway, like it's a cool experience. I'm lucky this upcoming season, I get to go back to my alma mater and coach on the same floor against the team that I played for. And it'll be a cool experience, but it's just one of those, I'm getting chilled before I even go there. Once you step in, it's going to be different.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's like that. I couldn't imagine what that would be like knowing he played there too. But I think obviously going there, the whole just trying to win a game. So it's try to keep it every game.
Yeah, main thing, the main thing. Yeah, no doubt.
So if you had anything just from the staff that you have worked with over the 6 going on to 7 years, Coach Cape and everybody else on staff, just anything from evaluations to relationships, program building, if there was just anything, like what do you feel like is something that you really learned the most from, like in an area?
That's a great question. I would say that's a really good question. I would definitely say going back to the whole staff, really relationships, like treat everybody well that you meet. You have no idea like the impact that they will have or the journey that they will be on. And life's too short to treat people not well. Like you should always treat people that you work with equally. And I say the biggest thing is, yeah, maintain good relationships, always keep in touch with people. And
but knowing the guys we have from Jeff to Coach O'Toole to Milan, obviously Hubley, like there is a common thread going through you guys' staff of great people. And even when times have been tough there, which Jeff was very candid about on his pod with us, but you know, who he is, the core of who he is has helped him not just survive, continue to rebuild and thrive and redefine and all those things that you have to do consistently to stay sustainable. You're very fortunate, man. You got a great group around you, no doubt.
I've never ever heard somebody ever say a bad thing about it. Everybody's like, oh, Tim O'Toole, great guy. Like Coach Cable, like that's all you really want at the end of the day. Going back to it, you want to make an impact on people, you want to help people. That's why you're in this business. And so that's like the biggest thing is always just treat people the way you want to be treated.
Yep. And the one thing that I've learned too is your head coach, the coaches you work around, it doesn't necessarily directly reflect on you. But if you were to go, and I won't say Cape, I'll just say a random coach. I'll say for myself, I'm working under a random head coach and that head coach has terrible experiences. He has a terrible background. A lot of people know that he's maybe not the nicest person. And we're at X, Y, and Z school. People, and you go around and tell people that, they're going to look at you and be like, oh, you work for so-and-so over, oh, okay. And whatever that coach has done, they're probably putting all of that on you. Now, no, it's not the same person. That you probably have nothing to do with any of it, but they're going to put a lot of those stereotypes onto you. I've had a situation before where I work with a coach and I told somebody, yeah, I'm the so-and-so on his staff. And they're like, oh, Okay. Interesting. And then, right there, I learned. I'm like, I understand what your theory here. Great guy to me. Never had any issues. Maybe had a bad experience one time in his life, and that's what you're basing it off of. But my point is, you definitely, who you're working for, the people around you, the environment that you have, a lot of that dictates the type of person that you are. And then I guess the like image that you're portraying too.
100%. And two, if you treat people well, like they're going to work 10 times harder for you because why not? Mm-hmm. So, absolutely. That's the biggest thing too. Like a lot of times in this industry that people trust the people that they know and the people that work for them, like they already, like you said, there's this guy must be a hard worker if he works for this person or must be a great person. And I'll say along with that too, like just the family aspect of all the coaches, like being able to sometimes like the coach is bringing their kids, like it makes you feel like more like family. And that's important too.
Yeah, for sure. Now it's hard enough to beat the other team by one point. Yep. And so if you know it's an 8-month grind or 7 or 8, it's hard. There's injuries. There's tough times. There's difficult environments to step into to try to win. There's hard things are just a part of it. Why not try to do it with people you enjoy being around every day? Because you know the other part is hard. It's twice as hard if you're with people that you don't jive with and you don't have a vibe with and you don't enjoy being around. So now you're dealing with two different issues, and that's where you can get drained or burned out in this business if you're not careful. It's hard to go wrong with good people, for sure.
Yeah. And it makes it more enjoyable and the work easier, like you said. Like you're dealing with the people and you're collaborating with the people that like it's the biggest thing.
I always thought every single time people would come on and they're like, oh yeah, you want good people around you. My first thing is like, why does everybody say that? It doesn't make sense. As a young coach, I'm like, it doesn't make sense. Yeah, I get you want good people around you. But then once you actually are in it, you've been in a position where there's not the best people around you. And then you've been in a position where there is great people around you. And you've seen both perspectives. You're like, I fully get it. You're around these guys. Like Major said, you're around these guys 24/7. You're on a bus with them. You're on a plane with them for hours, sitting right next to them. You can't get away from them.
Yeah.
So if this is somebody you can't stand, imagine sitting on a plane with them for 5 hours. And then you're like, this is going to be a trip.
Yeah,
it totally makes more sense now.
Yep.
So, Blows, one thing we want to do is we want to just put the bow on top, wrap it all up. And really, I want to say bringing you back to your first coaching position, although this isn't Lehigh Carbon Community College, but majority of your atmosphere and your background is at Pitt. So just putting you back into that first student manager position, thinking, I know there's a lot of people who would be listening that ultimately have had similar experiences and want to be in a spot that you're in, especially at a high major ACC school. If there was any one piece of advice that you could share with your younger self, being in the profession, knowing what you know now, what advice would you share with those coaches?
I would say just don't stress about the destination as much. I'm super grateful to be here and work with a great staff. But when I was in high school, it just a little bit about me. So when I was in high school, I had a surgery and was out of school for a good month. It was like my first time actually watching March Madness, which is pretty late in my life, which should have been earlier. But I saw Duke win the national championship in 2015, and I was actually rooting for it. Like I actually kind of wanted to see the Wisconsin team that year. And I remember that summer, I saw the brotherhood that Duke team had, and I was really intrigued by it. And so I started following Duke a little bit more. And that summer I saw they put out a video of the day in the life of Coach Capel. And I watched the video and I was like, if my job was that, like I'd live a pretty good life. Like you're impacting people, you're coaching basketball. How cool is that? So it was funny. I watched that video when I was a lot younger. And then all I wanted to do was help out a team. So I helped out my community college for a year. I met Coach Abdul Rockman. His son actually played for Michigan, and he actually knew Tim O'Toole. Once again, relationships. So I was like the only guy helping out around there, and I was like, I really want to be a manager at a high major school. So ended up, he's worked in my favor, went to Pitt, and I became a manager. And all I really wanted to do as a manager was I really wanted to eventually get a GA opportunity. And there was a good month in between when I graduated college and when I actually got offered the position, And that was like the moment I was like, you know what, if things don't work out, like if this door is closed, like that's okay. I still want to coach basketball. I still want to do things. And there's opportunities to do that down the road, whether it be high school, community college. And sometimes it's not always meant to be. And then I got the call a month later and ended up like that door opened back up again. I walked right through it. And then when you're a GA, all you really want is to eventually be part of a staff of a program at high major level or even the MBA. And so you're consistently trying to stress and want this next step, and you're not actually cherishing the moment that you're in. And I would say that's the one thing. So just enjoy like waking up and being a part of something and waking up and taking pride in the little things, because if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. But if you're not happy doing it, you're never going to be happy doing it. And you're never going to enjoy the journey before it's too late. You'll be in the position you want to be in. You'll be like, wow, like good old days were when I was a manager, like when I have all this responsibilities. And then on top of that, like the coolest thing is it ended up years down the road, like I'm working for a guy that I saw the video and actually got me into wanting to do this one day, and I ended up working for him. I'm on staff. So just don't stress about the little things, like just take pride in the day to day and let the doors open as they open. But definitely that would be the one thing I tell myself.
Great stuff, man. Mm. What a difference 10 years makes, huh?
Yeah, it's crazy. Like,
no.
Things will play out, but just be grateful for where you're at. And yeah.
No,
I didn't even know all that. Especially the cool part that you go from a community college to then it ultimately brings you, yeah, you had to work your way up the chain, but in the long haul, it brings you to being on staff at Pitt University, from going from a Lehigh Carbon Community College to Pitt University and now being on staff at Pitt. It's just, it's an amazing transition. It says a lot about you, and it definitely, it's crazy to be able to see the growth and just obviously what you're doing is working. So keep doing what you're doing.
Appreciate
love that.
Yes.
No, man. Good. Before Dougie lands the plane, man, please say hello to all those guys for us. Absolutely. Looking forward to tracking you guys for sure. And like I said, man, I haven't known you long. Just having some chow with you at the Final Four last year was a good time. And like I said, I'm excited not just for you, but for the program too. And again, thanks for, we've been talking about doing this on and off. So thanks for squeezing us in. We appreciate it.
Thank you guys so much for having me. And I look forward to hopefully seeing you also in Indianapolis this coming year. So,
yeah, no doubt.
I think you'll be seeing me around Pittsburgh a little sooner, but regardless, no, brother, honestly, like truthfully, I say it to everybody and I mean it to everybody, even though you're a closer friend. Thank you for being on here, sharing everything, because I know we said before, but your experiences and growth is very pivotal, and it definitely will speak volumes to people listening. So there's going to be people who will be able to resonate with that. And I'm sure a lot of questions have been answered for those people, and it gives them some more insight. So thank you. Appreciate you and everything that you've been able to help me with. And likewise, yeah. I know we still got a lot more things to in the future, but I know I'll be seeing you around soon enough. Everybody, thank you all for tuning in to another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. Your hosts here again, Alan Major, Doug Caputo. Keep working. All you coaches, keep rising. Good luck this year, and we'll see you all soon. Take care.
Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines.
I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together. We'll be right back.